You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The future of the Affordable Care Act is certainly in doubt. President-elect Donald Trump wants to scrap it and replace it. The Republican majority in Congress is totally on board with that idea. According to government figures nationwide, since the Affordable Care Act's coverage expansion began, some 20 million uninsured people have gained health insurance coverage. Census data show the uninsured rate in Michigan in 2015 was cut in half. It's now at 6.1%, down from 12.4% uninsured in 2010. But there are problems. Some families are worse off. Before the ACA, Melissa Dabbert and her family had the kind of insurance coverage they needed. After the ACA went into effect, the Dabberts couldn't find the same coverage, and anything that met their needs was much more expensive. Stateside's Lester Graham spoke with Melissa Dabbert.
First, if you don't mind, tell me about your family's health care needs.
Sure. My husband and I and our two children have significant disabilities. So we are actually a family who need health insurance. Looking from a perspective of actually having to use the insurance, we see it from a little bit different perspective than many people who don't need to use it.
So give me an example of what kind of cost of procedures. Are we talking about having to go into the hospital a lot? Or are we talking about having to see the doctor a lot? Give me an idea of what your situation is.
Yes. I and my two children have a disability called osteogenesis imperfecta. It's a brittle bone condition that from time to time we may experience a broken bone, and sometimes that requires surgical repair. So it does involve sometimes hospital care as well as routine doctor visits.
What happened to the insurance coverage you had before the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it was canceled as a result of the regulations under the Affordable Care Act. And we were surprised because we were under the understanding that if you liked your plan, you could keep your plan. But we received a letter from Blue Cross, who was the company we had at the time, that said our actual plan was being canceled as a direct result of the new regulations under the Affordable Care Act.
What was the advantage to that plan?
Well, what we appreciate about the plan is the fact that it had an out-of-pocket maximum of $2,500 for both of our children combined. And I think that's where it's important to think about. A lot of the policies that came out after the Affordable Care Act had lower premiums, but the benefits were not good if you had to use the insurance.
So a higher out-of-pocket expense and so forth.
Yep, we went from a $2,500 combined out-of-pocket maximum to a $5,100 per child out-of-pocket maximum.
So almost four times what you were paying.
Yes, and again, if you didn't need to use the insurance, it was great. But if you have to use insurance, that's where it becomes an issue.
I also understand that as the years have gone by under ACA, you've had to change plans because they get altered or they aren't available any longer.
Almost every year.
Yeah. What's been your experience that way?
Well, again, the plans change. We have to spend hours every year at the end of the year trying to figure out what plans would work for us. And there's not many plans offered in our county particularly, and there's only like three companies. One or two of the companies didn't even provide pay for our local hospital care.
So let me stop you just for a second, because you mentioned in your county, it's a statewide marketplace, but they sell county by county?
Yes, yes. Blue Cross can choose to offer a particular plan in one county or the next. And so if I should move out of Big County, I have to notify the insurance company because they may not offer it in another county.
I'm wondering what kind of help you've gotten to kind of negotiate all of this, search for a policy that meets your family's needs.
Well, we do have a local agent that works with us, but by the time we sit down and discuss what our family's needs are, it ends up to be one, two, and maybe possibly three choices. And we kind of joke about it, sadly enough, by saying we either have an option between a bad, a really bad, or a really bad, bad plan. So It's not the variety of options that we thought we were going to have.
The deadline to sign up for the Affordable Care Act for 2016 was on December 15th. Were you able to find something?
We did. Well, I mean, we had to pick something. It was either pick something or have nothing. And we did pick a plan. The plan that we chose for our children was it had a $5,100 out-of-pocket maximum per child with a deductible of $250 per year.
So that's much like that first plan you got a couple of years ago, it sounds like.
Yep, yes.
A lot of people have been able to get health care insurance that just wasn't available to them before the ACA, people with pre-existing conditions, for example. I'm wondering, what do you think is the best way for the government to go forward if there is some kind of a health care plan that's offered by some kind of act, whether it's ACA for another year or two or something that's come up that's new from Congress or the Trump administration? What do you want to see in that?
Well, I think that pre-existing conditions should remain part of the requirements. I think most people agree with that. I think what is most important is that you have a reasonable out-of-pocket maximum for families who need to use the insurance. I mean, when you're sick and you can't work, that becomes a huge issue when you can't afford. I mean, when you need to use the insurance, you're probably going to max out on the insurance every year.
I want to just touch on one thing. You say if you work or if you're not working, was Medicaid ever an option for you or your kids?
Well, my children could have made the decision to take Medicaid this year. They are 18 now, and they are in college. The only way that they could have received Medicaid is if they you essentially have to be extremely in poverty to be able to get Medicaid. Now, let me just back up by saying you don't have to be in extreme poverty, but if you have a savings account, you have to spend it down to $2,000. That's the most that you can have in a savings account in order for Medicaid to even kick in and provide any payment whatsoever. And so my kids have a college savings and wanted to be able to maintain that savings, so they could not go on Medicaid without spending down their assets to $2,000.
So I want to just give you one more chance to bottom line it for – you said pre-existing conditions, that has to be a thing, and a reasonable amount of payments. What kind of hope for a plan like that do you see in the next year or two?
Well, I'm very optimistic, but I'm cautiously optimistic. I think that I'm really concerned that more decisions are going to be made without discussing the potential outcomes with families who are affected. I think what happened is a lot of decisions were made at the federal level without talking to anybody and saying, gee, if we made this change, what will happen to your family? What's going to be the outcome for you? And right now, the way the system is set up, if you can't afford your premiums, you basically are going to end up poor if you can't afford to pay your medical bills.
That's Melissa Davert. She and her family have been faced with some tough and expensive health care insurance decisions since the Affordable Care Act was implemented. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, too. I appreciate your attention to the issue.